Hi, and welcome to Happier Music Teacher. Are you a music teacher who has no time, no voice, and you kind of need to pee? I'm Beth Duhon. I'm a Christian, wife, mother, musician, and former stressed hot mess music teacher. I've been there. Join me every week as we work on easy micro actions so that you can be a happier music teacher.
Here is the Crescendo Music Education Podcast, episode 89. This podcast is being recorded on the lands of the Turrbal people. I acknowledge them as the traditional owners of the land and pay my respects to elders past, present and emerging. They were the first music makers on this land. And so it is with sadness that I announce this is the final in our series of music teacher well-being. In this episode, Beth and I will chat about the comparison trap. There is no point comparing yourself to others. There's a great deal of point in learning from others, but not comparing yourself to others. Let's not compare apples to oranges. Let's not compare length of experience. Let's not compare those who have time to create Instagram-worthy posts to those who don't have time to prepare those things. Just do the best you can with the knowledge you've got. I think that's what we do as music educators. I believe that is what we do. So let's not fall into the comparison trap. Enjoy my final episode in this series with Beth Duhon. Welcome to the Crescendo Music Education Podcast, where I get to chat to Beth Duhon again. Hello, Beth.
Hello, Debbie.
We're going to look a little bit more at your book and talk about music teachers looking after themselves. So I would like to talk about comparison. Oh my goodness. I'm assuming we're talking about comparing yourself to other, say, Instagram-worthy music teacher classrooms. Just that very dangerous habit of comparing yourself to someone else and falling short.
Ooh, well, it has never been easier to do it than in this current day and age. Mm. When I was a kid, if you were going to compare yourself to the neighboring music teacher, it was probably a few times a year at the district band competition when you all chatted.
Yes.
And people might have a little bit of one-upsmanship. Now you can be in bed in your jammies and click and see someone else's Veterans Day program. And you're not just guessing that their program is better than you. You're seeing it in living color that, yes, indeed, it's way better than yours. And it's 9 o'clock at night. So I think it's definitely something that needs to be addressed.
Oh, and it's so dangerous because you have got to remind yourself that you're not the other person. Their journey is completely different. Maybe they've got 20 years more experience. Maybe they haven't had a sick child at home for the past 2 weeks. Everybody has their own story, their own passions and foci. So you can't, it's comparing apples and oranges. It's so difficult to compare yourself with others and not get trapped into a toxic sort of a comparison instead of a, whoa, what are they doing? Oh, I'd love to do something like that. I might learn from them. Because I think there's two ways of comparison, isn't there? The where you can be more positive and learn from other great people or just feel sad about it.
Agreed. Well, and like I said, we mentioned earlier that we were talking about what a beautiful time that you can be in Australia and I can be in Texas and we can be chatting about music education, so hopefully good for the betterment of our listeners.
Yes.
But it can also, some people will use it for pride or for self-abasement. It could be either one. Mm-hmm. But hopefully if you're using it for collaboration.
Yes.
And just realizing that what you see with other people is a snapshot and we don't know what we don't know. And every student, every campus is so unique and they hired you for that campus for a reason, not the other person. And so being younger and thinner, would not make me a better music teacher.
Mind you, I'd like to be younger and thinner.
It wouldn't hurt my feelings, but so far, so it's really, and it's as far as your energy, and I'm big on things being finite. Our energy is so finite. Are we really going to spend our finite energy on comparing ourselves negatively to other people? Mm. And I just finally had to talk. I mean, you know, you referenced yourself a couple of times where you said, Debbie, and you told yourself something. I had to tell myself a couple of times, my son's elementary music teacher was just excellent. She was her campus music teacher, you know, campus teacher of the year. She was the district elementary teacher of the year.
Oh, wow.
She was the What a Teacher, which is like the Whataburger teacher of the year. But when I talk to her, she's my biggest cheerleader. So, you know, instead of us feeling threatened by each other, she really is the biggest, sweetest cheerleader, and I want to do the same thing for her.
That's so good, because I do believe there's real power in supporting and encouraging each other.
Well, it's amazing when I share good news, you know, like in a group text. There are group texts where I'll just hear crickets. I'm like, okay, well, guess chirp, chirp. There's no one's very happy about this. Or if not, and then other group texts, I'll put it in there, and 2 seconds later, you know, they're literally cheering for me and will be in the front row when I go present someplace, because they're that kind of friend. Yes. And so I think with time and experience, you start to weed out who your people are.
Yes.
And investing in those people. And then also, like I said, hopefully investing, I'm getting to an age where I'm investing hopefully in younger teachers and encouraging them too. That's what I want to do.
Yes, absolutely. I'm going to even say, I see it almost as our duty. I don't mean that in a negative way. I don't mean duty as in obligation, but isn't it best for our profession to pass on what knowledge we have gleaned? I mean, I've been basically in my profession for 42 years. So I would like to think there's a little bit of some common sense and savvy and things that I've learned on the way that I would like to pass on to other people. And yes, the younger teachers, the less experienced teachers, the teachers that are just having a little slump in some particular area, I might be able to just give them a little boost, a few ideas, and actually, most importantly, tell them that they're actually not doing badly at all. They're doing amazing work.
Who doesn't need to hear that?
Yeah, I could not agree more. But it is hard, isn't it? Flicking on Instagram, looking at some of those classrooms. Mine's pretty colourful and fun, but not the colour coordinated. I've done it in this theme this year classroom. I look at some of those classrooms and think, that's so not me.
And I also think that may be a music teacher thing. A few of us are like that, but if you're like me or like you, that really does not light us up. That does not give us joy. So I will delegate the stuffing out of that. I will find some. We had a door decorating contest and I'm like, oh, I am dead in the water before we start. So my friend, the music too long-term substitute, I'm like, this door is your oyster. Go for it. Have a wonderful time.
Go for it. And also, I'm like, I do turn things up. Talking about doors, I had at the beginning of the year, every child decorated a little note. And we put it all on giant staff. And that was for Harmony Day, which we have here in March, 21st of March, about everybody getting on together. And I think Harmony Day is a particularly nice name for a day to support in music. So they all had their own note and how everybody's different and unique, but together we make music together. I like to add meaning to things that I do with the kids. But you are absolutely right. The comparison game can be very dangerous. You've got to remind yourself that you're doing the best you can with what you've got, where you are at the moment.
Well, and some of it you mentioned on Instagram, you have the power to not allow all of that into your feed, or you have the power to scroll or not. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and add or select that as you will. And I think a lot of times we have different capacities for it. And it's okay to selectively let it in or to take a break. You don't just have to subscribe to it all the time.
Yeah, that is true. Because you can get caught in that vortex a little bit, can't you?
And same with one of the chapters, it talks about when you go to the district meetings and conferences, we call it flexing. You know, sometimes you go to those conferences and it just feels like I think we want the worth so badly. When I find myself doing it, I'm trying to get some worth someplace that I shouldn't. And so we just want the stroke so badly because maybe we're not getting them on our campus, or we're feeling a little insecure, or we want to make sure we measure up. And so we get in a group and it just feels like we're all trying to just flex a little bit. So it is really okay to remind yourself, I even talk about this in the book, about learning and connecting, that what you're really there to do is not to impress anybody. Mm-hmm. If I'm at my best when I'm presenting, it's not about me. It's really about serving whoever's in front of me and helping them be better. When I'm at my worst, it's, oh, how am I doing? How am I being perceived? You know? And so I'd much rather flip the focus to learning and connecting, make some real true connections with some colleagues, do some real learning that I will take back, and leave the flexing at home.
Yes. I do love that, flexing. I'm going to use that term. And you know, I think it's very obvious, having sat through many, many professional development type sessions. I'm a bit of a professional development tragic. You know, I will be there because I'm learning. But I love that flexing at the gym. And the people that are there doing it just to flex, you just don't learn from them as well, do you? You don't.
You're being talked at.
Yes. You don't relate to them. You're not forming a relationship. Because you can, well, the way I look at it, if I get to present, even if it's to hundreds of people, I am forming a relationship with them. It's not a close personal relationship at this stage because there's hundreds of them, but it is still a relationship. I still want to respect them and their point of view, and I want to learn from them. And there's a humble sort of attitude rather than a flex. I like that. I have my own terms for those people. And you're not going to learn a lot from those people.
Agreed. It's just a humble posture. And like I said, we can all get out of alignment a little bit. But when you read the room, and sometimes, especially if you go by yourself, you're like trying to figure out who to be by and all those type of things, you will quickly figure out.
Yes.
There was a conference where this man was mansplaining the ukulele to me and would not get out of my personal space. And I was about in tears. Like, I've got it. Thank you. And then there was someone else to my right who was like quietly explaining it to me and giving me help and feedback. And it just felt completely different.
Yes.
So you can seek out and you can kind of figure out who the safe people are there, mm-hmm. and who you'd like to spend the time with and who you maybe don't need to spend the time with at that conference.
Yes. I love it. Great advice. Great advice. Now we're coming towards the end of just this bit of a superficial look at your book. And I do hope everybody's going to get in there and get it. And did you say it's come out on Amazon now?
So I am, by the time this is broadcast, it should be officially out on Amazon and also on F Flat Books.
Oh, wonderful. Well, we'll make sure that all of that is in the link. So all the links are in the show notes is what I'm saying. So I'm reading at the same time. So you've got other little bits in this last section of your book with, things scary like sugar is bad, but God is good. You've got some nice little bits that, would you like to elaborate on any of these last little bits in your book?
Let's see. What do we have there? We have sugar is bad, but God is good.
Yeah,
refresh,
you've got
a little bit.
You got white space. Oh, I referred to white space about between things. White space. It's really important, you know. You can create. I'll just go off on another little tangent. I'm try to create white space, even if it's 30 seconds between releasing one prep class and letting the next one in. I have 30 seconds of white space where you can reset and make the most of that little gap. They're really quite powerful, white spaces. Is that what you mean with white space?
It sure is. So a lot of the things in this miscellany chapter are what I'm going to be presenting on at the next Oak conference.
Oh, wow.
So it's a couple things, a couple S's and a couple M's. So the white space is margin. And like you talked about, my cell phone is a big tool in that for me because I will set a reminder alarm around 2 minutes before the class is supposed to go. So I can actually literally wrap my class up on purpose instead of looking up and realizing what time it is.
Oh, that's
so
a
that
good
gives
idea.
Me a chance to It's worked well for me, and it gives me a chance to close my lesson, get them in a somewhat organized formation, and out the door on time before I have the next class. Because otherwise, you know, we run something one more time, it's frantic, and you literally have your classes back to back. And my catchphrase for music teachers is we have no time, no voice, and need to pee. So you don't
have... Yes, I have heard that catchphrase, yes.
And you don't have time for any of it between. So it just gives you a little bit of control. And even right now, I'm on Christmas break, and having a little bit of white space so that I am not working straight up until the last day I go back after break. I'm giving myself a little extra time to do those things. And when I'm going shopping, I get just that little bit, like I said, it's just a little buffer to keep things feel a little more manageable and a little bit more sane. Because if I'm not careful on my own, I will just schedule it to the last second. It's completely full. And if any one thing does not go right, my whole day has just collapsed.
Yes.
But if I have a little bit of margin, and also when I'm doing that, I'm not worried about the other people in front of me. I'm really worried about me and my schedule and my pace and my stress level and my productivity. So it's much better for me to just give a little margin. It helps me treat people more like a human being and be more about the people and less about the product.
That's excellent advice. I think we could all take that. The other thing I like about creating white space is that if you want to do deep work, if you want to get in the flow and make the most of something, whatever you're doing, even if it's lesson planning or developing resources, or in my case, if I'm working on podcasts or blogs or whatever you're working on, you need to give yourself the margin to have the time to actually get in the flow and do the good creative work. If you're scheduled out, you know you've got a meeting that you have planned at 11, but you need a bit more time to get into the flow and do that deep work. I just think creating the space and the margin also provides the opportunity for you to do better quality work.
Well, it sounds like I'm ragging on the society in this interview, but you know, I know my attention span has never been stellar, but it just gets shorter and shorter and shorter. And like research is even showing that across the society, you know, we hear the ping of our phone and we get distracted and we're back and forth. So even something as simple as just turn off the notifications on your phone.
Yes.
Put it on the do not disturb, having a certain amount of time that is blocked for that activity. All of that helps me. And one of the margin things, like I mentioned in the beginning, that morning routine for me, you mentioned your walk. When I am able to have my quiet time and then add on the walk, that's about an hour of time. It is not insignificant, but it makes the whole rest of the day smoother and more relaxed.
Yes. Yes. You are better off for it psychologically and physically.
Agreed.
I think that is a wonderful place to finish our series on music educators and their well-being. Thank you so much for your insights.
Well, I hope it's helpful, and I sure enjoyed chatting with you. I could do it all day.
Me too. Okay, bye, Beth.
Bye, Debbie.
I appreciate you and all of my colleagues and hope this episode has been enjoyable and useful. Don't forget, you'll find the show notes on crescendo.com.au. I'd love a share, rate or review to help other music educators find this podcast. All I can be is the best version of me. All you can do is be the best you. Until next time, bye. As we know, laughter relieves stress. Don't lose sight of the funny side of life. I'm glad that I know some sign language. It's pretty handy.
If you like this podcast, I think you're going to love the book, Happier Music Teacher, 50 Days to Being a Happier Music Teacher at Home and at School. You can pick it up on FLAT Books. I'll have the link in the show notes and soon on Amazon. I love to meet listeners and Facebook group members in person. Here are two opportunities to meet you in the spring. I'll be presenting at TMEA,
Better Boundaries for Private Lessons Teachers. Those dates are February 7th through February 10th. I'll let you know more when I know my exact date and time. And also at the OAKE National Conference, March 14th through March 17th. It's OAKE's 50th anniversary, and it's going to be in Chicago. I'm a native Illinoisan. I can't wait. See you there.
Thank you for listening to The Happier Music Teacher. Don't forget to leave a review and subscribe and tell a friend.